Welcome to Mouse Chat for Monday, December 10th, 2011. Joining me today are Natalie Browning, Lauren Masaryk, Chris Wood, and Steve Griswold. On today's show, we will bring you news from all around Disney. Today's topic is going to be off the beaten path, Disney beyond the parks. We're going to talk about some things that you can do without stepping foot in the park on your Disney vacation. So welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We're also going to have a couple of announcements, a couple of news segments before we hit our main topic. So how's everyone doing?
Good.
Good.
Hot.
Excellent. Oh, I don't want to hear it.
We had snow today.
Yeah, I'm trading the snow too, right there with you.
Well, I'll go ahead and start with announcements, I guess. First show for 2011, and we're starting our new contest. So what we're going to do is each week give out a clue to a hidden item at Walt Disney World. So to play, you can either, if you're physically at Walt Disney World, you can go and find the item, and it has an email address and phone number on it. And if you call the email address If you email us or call us at the number, you'll win a $50 gift card, and you have to tell us the location where you found the item. Or you can play online at our mousechat.net Facebook page. I'll post the clue there, and then you can reply to the clue where you think it is, and I can give you an example of the detail we'll need. So if it was at Disney Hollywood Studios, you would say Disney Hollywood Studios, the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular, and the fake prop area in the queue. So if you found it, or if it was at something like Epcot, you would say Epcot.
Well, now United, they know where to go.
Or Epcot United Kingdom Pavilion, red phone booth next to
Rose and Crown.
Thank you. So next to Rose and Crown Pub. So that's the kind of detail. And the first clue is that you will find Ariel here. So you will find Ariel here is your first clue for this week.
That could be a lot of places.
So I'll post on the mousechat.net Facebook page that clue so people can put their guesses in there as well. For 2011, we've got a bunch of new things going on. I was just at Disneyland, so I recorded some kind of walk-around audio podcast. So I'll put those up this week on the Mouse Chat website, so you'll be able to get to those there, just like our regular podcast, and as well on your iPhone. So I've got one kind of on California Adventure and one at the Magic Kingdom at Disneyland. Some of it's got, actual ride-throughs on with the audio from the attractions and me just doing stuff at Disneyland for the first time. And then this show, we're kind of broadcasting from all over, or recording from all over. So I am in Melbourne, Australia, and everybody else is back in the States. And they have, in Melbourne, they have the ACMI, which is a museum here, which is has the Dreams Come True images of Disney. And so I'm going to go to that museum, and I'll do some video and photographs and maybe an audio podcast on that exhibit, and I'll probably post that in the next couple weeks as well.
Well, good. That would be why you're so hot down there.
It is very hot down here. And if you can't hear it and it doesn't work right, the podcast, then just turn it upside down. And that will fix
it.
A little Australia humor.
Okay, so another announcement. Lauren, do you have one?
I do. Disney announced the Kids Stay and Play for Free promotion. When you purchase a non-discounted four-night, four-day Magic Your Way vacation package, your children can go for free as long as you have one paying adult. They stay and play for free. It's a great promotion. There are select dates. There are some blackout dates. But it's a great promo when you have a lot of kids between the ages of 3 and 9.
That is a good promo. I actually have a family that is 2 adults and 7 kids. And all the kids are between 3 and 9. And they're interested in going. And it's funny because now the dad can't go, and it's going to look like such a scam because she has 7 kids, and she's going to go by herself, and they're all going to get to go in for free still.
See, that's where that deal is really a good deal.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I'll see how this works out. So, all right. Any other announcements?
Disney also has a winter spring offer that they released.
Okay.
It's percentage off anywhere from 15% to 40%. It's two different times of the year. There's one that runs from April 28th to June 14th, and then again from August 14th to October 1st. So there's all different discounts depending on where you stay. So they can get a discount up to 40% depending on where they stay and how long they go and everything else. So
it's nice to have some options and figure out what's going to work best for your family. Let's start with some news stories. Natalie, what do you have?
I have about Disney extending its existing contract with its employees. As of today, there's still no deal between Walt Disney World and thousands of its workers. Both sides met Friday, which I'm assuming, well, on January the 7th, to work a new contract. Disney has been negotiating with the service trade councils for months. The union represents about 20,000 workers in Central Florida. Says both sides are expected to meet again on February 10th. A contract extension is in place until February the 17th. The union rejected Disney's initial contract, after which included bonuses and raises, but also higher health care costs. They're still negotiating, so I don't know what that means.
Another story. Let's see. Natalie had one. How about Lauren?
The new Disney Dream arrived at Port Canaveral. It sailed into its home port the morning of January 4th after a 16-night transatlantic voyage from Germany. It's going to begin its maiden voyage on January 26th, and it'll be sailing 3-, 4-, and 5-night cruises to the Bahamas. Thought that was exciting.
Those pictures of it coming into port was awesome.
With the fireworks?
Yes.
See that? Oh, my God, that was beautiful.
We're going to have to go.
I want to go.
I want to go.
I got Chris.
Okay, I have one, and it's near and dear to my heart because you know how I'm slightly obsessed about Via Napoli. So I read last week that they're going to have, during Christmas, what they did is they opened up a takeout window for pizza and cannolis and drinks and stuff like that. So people who couldn't get into the restaurant to have pizza could still get, you know, basically a counter service credit lunch. And it turns out it was, I guess, pretty successful, but it wasn't the same pizza you can get in the restaurant. It's kind of a thicker crust. It looked good, but apparently people said it was just so-so. But they're not sure. This may be a new thing that they do during busier times of the year. They open up that window. So that's another place you can possibly eat in Epcot.
Yeah, we saw the window when we were there during Christmas time, and I took pictures of the menu and I think the little window area, but I don't think okay. I've posted them up yet. But yeah, that's pretty much what they had.
There were pictures on Disney Food Blog too, if anyone wants to go and check out pictures and check out a guest review of that.
I saw, you know, people were in line, and there were some younger girls, actually some not so younger girls. And I could hear their conversation, and it kind of revolved around the guy that was serving the food and how appetizing he looked. And so apparently he's an attraction, you know, and two separate groups were commenting on how they had to go get something because they just wanted him to serve them. And I thought that was cute.
In this picture that Disney Food Blog that AJ has up on her blog, the guy is kind of handsome. I'm not going to lie. But then again, a man with a pizza is attractive anyway. I don't care.
Or in Lauren's case, a cupcake.
A cupcake.
Gotta love those cupcakes.
A man with a cupcake.
How sad is it that at least every other podcast we have to mention how good looking the cast members are at the restaurants in Epcot? In the World Showcase.
Wonder why it's just in those restaurants. How come they're not anywhere else?
Because they're foreign. And, you know, they've got that accent.
Yeah. You have to come to Australia.
Really?
Ooh, that sounds fun.
So give us your best Australian accent.
They walk around with the, you know, the leather hat with the little shark's teeth or the alligator teeth in it. And the big knife.
Do they not have teeth? Shirts on?
Yeah.
Do they look like shark's Crocodile teeth. Dundee?
Yep.
That's Do they just it, have exactly. the vest with no shirt?
Did you see anyone wrestling a crocodile?
Not yet. That's later today. Okay. That'll be around dinner time.
Well, you gotta eat.
Actually, I had crocodile last time I came here. I had crocodile
and time.
Kangaroo and emu.
A kangaroo?
Yeah.
You ate a kangaroo?
You ate little Joe.
They're so cute.
Yeah, the rule should be you never eat anything cute. So cows, they deserve to die. So do turkeys, but not sheep or kangaroos.
Oh my God. Animal rights is on the phone, Chris, for you.
Oh. Hey, and that's didn't Chris. I stick up Ed? Didn't that's I stick Chris. Up for the wait, vegans a couple weeks
wait,
ago?
Wait, isn't this the same person that doesn't like the circus?
Well, that's a totally different thing. See, it's one thing if you're going to eat those tigers, but to make them perform in a show, that's a whole different thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What were we talking about?
I have no idea. Yeah. Shirtless
no, we talked
guys.
About pizza.
Oh,
yeah, then we got
pizza.
Yeah.
Handsome, cute. Handsome waiters.
Now we at Norway. They used to have cute girls at Norway, but not anymore.
No, everybody who works at Norway is attractive, the men and the women.
Yeah, you just can't beat Norway.
No,
we looked at Akershus. Well, we were doing the Kim Possible adventure or mission in Norway, which we talked about last time that it was just not their best. And we were hanging out by Akershus, and those hostesses, they're very, very cute. It's not right.
Yeah, that's a good-looking pavilion. I don't know what's wrong with us.
Okay, so, well, my husband's on the other side of the world.
So no going to Norway when I'm gone.
All right, Lauren, don't you have another one?
I do. A unique new wild Africa trek at Disney's Animal Kingdom brings thrills of faraway adventure to Disney World Resort. Apparently, a ravine of menacing-looking crocs, pools of hippos, bushwalks along untracked terrain, and other thrills await guests on the Wild Trek Africa. It's a unique wildlife experience scheduled to launch on January 16th into the deepest, most remote reaches of Disney's Animal Kingdom. And you are going to have to book reservations. It's going to be a 3-hour expert-led adventure that will immerse guests in the realms and wildlife thrills of far-off Africa. Sounds interesting, right?
This is like one of those walking behind-the-scenes walking tours?
Yeah, of...
Of the savannah?
Yeah, of the safari area. But that was interesting. Something new.
I think they started testing those earlier, and then the price goes up and they officially start doing them, it sounds like.
Yeah, right now it says that guests who wish to experience Wildlife Africa Trek between January 16th and February 26th may take advantage of an introductory offer starting at $129 per person. And that does not include your park admission.
So you have to have park admission to do it, right?
Yep, park admission plus $129 per person. But it is a 3-hour tour.
Oh, come on. No one's going to sing it?
Nobody's going to run with that? No, come on. I'm not gonna...
I can't believe you guys.
No.
No one's...
Oh. How do you not run with that one?
Okay, I'll let it go.
Yeah, the other people, they never came back from their 3-hour tour.
Thank you.
Steve knows what I'm talking about, and no one's singing, a 3-hour tour. The ship went down the shore of this. Good thing no one was named Brady or anything like that. So let's move on to our topic, Off the Beaten Path.
There's a couple of things I like to do off the beaten path. One of them is I think something that a lot of people do, but maybe first timers don't know about, which is resort hop. Especially if you're not going to the park that day, or maybe you're going to do a party that night or something, and you just want a laid back day. Resort hopping is kind of fun. You can do like a monorail loop and just go to those resorts, or you can, you know, go kind of crazy and start going to some of the more outlying resorts.
And make sure you have lunch on the monorail.
Exactly. You want to eat your lunch on the monorail.
Those picnic lunches that they offer are great.
Well, and that's another good thing, too, is that, a lot of the restaurants that are open in the resorts during the day aren't crowded. You don't need a reservation for them. So you can go ahead and, you know, try those out. You know, just have a quick lunch. My other tip is sort of related to that, which is that if you're in the Magic Kingdom or in Epcot and it's lunchtime and it's super crowded, is to go ahead and get on the monorail and go to one of the monorail resorts and have lunch. It doesn't really take a lot of time, and it gets you out of the parks, gets you away from all the craziness, and allows you to kind of just eat a sit-down meal or even a counter service meal in a more quiet atmosphere.
And don't forget, you can ride the boat from the Magic Kingdom over to the campgrounds, over to Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, you can go over there.
Fort Wilderness is a world unto its own.
Yeah, that itself is like an off the beaten path kind of thing. You know, if you're not staying there, you might not go over there, but there's so many things to do.
So we like to do the resort hopping, and we'll go look at the shops or look at the Christmas decorations or get something to eat. And the ones on the monorail are the easiest to get to if you do not have your own transportation.
Trying to go resort to resort when you're not on a monorail, you have to rely on the buses, and it's not easy. It's very time-consuming.
The other ones that are nice, if you can get to them, are Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think those are worth going out to. Beach Club and Boardwalk, and that Epcot loop is nice, too.
Yeah, the boardwalk's a good place to go, especially at night.
And it's nice if you stay at one of those hotels there, because then you can just walk right in the back entrance to Epcot, and then you can go eat or go to the park for a little bit and then come right back and take a nap in the middle of the day. Or
a lot of people say that the Contemporary is the best place to stay as far as convenience, but my vote really goes to one of those, like the Beach Club or the Yacht Club. Walking to Epcot and then taking the boat to studios, it's just very convenient. And unless you're on one of the monorail resorts, you're going to have to take a bus to the Magic Kingdom, mostly. You could take a monorail, but there's transfers. But I think it's very convenient to stay at the Beach Club.
And then we were talking about Fort Wilderness, and they have a lot of things you can do that people don't think about. So we did we did a carriage ride there a few years back.
No, we did hayride. We did a hayride.
They have horseback riding there too.
Yeah, you can do horseback
riding. And the ponies.
They have archery.
Bicycles.
Mm-hmm. Boats. They have all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, the barbecue, or the roast, marshmallow roast with Chippendale.
Chippendale. Yeah, they have
backyard barbecue. Right?
Yeah, but they also have a campfire thing that you can go to for free, and they tell stories, and Chip and Dale come. And they
do s'mores.
We were talking to the lifeguard at the Beach Club about that, and he recommended that. And you don't have to be staying at that resort to participate in campfire thing with Chip and Dale. The backyard barbecue is a actual dining reservation.
What about fishing? Where can you do fishing?
I think I saw it. Can you do it from the Grand Floridian? I think I saw it when I was there.
You can. I'm amazed at how many places you can do it, and I'm going to throw it out there. You can do a catch-and-release bass fishing guided excursion from downtown Disney. You can do it from Fort Wilderness, the Contemporary, Wilderness Lodge, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, Boardwalk, Port Orleans, Yacht Club, Beach Club, Caribbean Beach, Coronado Springs, Saratoga Springs, and Old Key West. Who knew?
Yeah, wait. Now, no, I saw something at Pop Century when I was there in September that you could go and you paid so much and you could fish in the little lake behind Pop Century. unless I'm crazy, but I could have swore I saw something you could do that. And I saw people doing it. And I think they checked on it, and it was maybe $15 or something. I don't know. Maybe we need to check into that.
Well, that wouldn't be one of the guided tours. That wouldn't be a guided excursion.
Yeah, that was grab a pole, and I think you could actually go to the front and get a pole and rent it, and it was just catch and release.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get little cane poles, which is kind of fun. But the excursions are going to run you about $270, and that'll give you 2 hours of fishing time.
Well, the other thing you can do from the beach club, but we didn't do it, was the mini golf, and it's kind of in walking distance, actually, from the boardwalk. Beach club or yacht club, or you can drive there, and they have a Disney mini golf course there. They also have another one over by Blizzard Beach as a Christmas theme.
You've got Disney's Winter Summerland, and they've got two 18-hole adventures at the Winter Summerland, and that's going to cost you about 12. Is it 12? It's right around $10, $12, somewhere like that, for a round. And then you've got Fantasia Gardens, which is an 18-hole Fantasia-themed miniature golf course.
What do you think about attractions that are kind of off the beaten path? Like, the ones I would think about specifically are Tom Sawyer Island and the Walt Disney One Man's Dream exhibit in Hollywood Studios. Something that people don't always do. And then when they do it, they're like, why didn't we do that before? That was great.
Yeah, I was just going to throw in Carousel of Progress.
I love the Carousel of Progress.
Mm-hmm.
People do Carousel of Progress, but I think one attraction people don't do in the Magic Kingdom is Tom Sawyer Island. It's kind of a pain to get over there.
Yep.
You don't really know what's over there, but it is one of the best places to let your kids out and run around and stretch
their
legs.
Burn some energy.
And, yes, and they can't get hurt. And sometimes, I think especially for little kids or maybe kids with, you know, like some sensory issues or something, going over, you know, to Tom Sawyer Island is a really good way to kind of decompress and sort of, you know, relax.
I think so.
I haven't been over there in years.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing.
There.
No, people don't go.
And the paddle boat.
Right. And that's fun itself. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think One Man's Dream, the last time I was there, we went through it. And it was really interesting, even to my 8-year-old. But the cool thing was that when we were in the theater, there were some families behind us. And you could tell they hadn't done it before. And during when it was over, they were like, wow, that was really interesting. You know, they'd learned something about the history of the parks and about Walt Disney himself.
And I think it's important to know about Disney and why he's doing why he did what he did and how he did what he did. And that's what you're going to learn.
You can enjoy. I always say that, you know, the thing that sort of separates like the hardcore Disney fans from people who just like the parks is sort of the idea that you can enjoy the parks on different levels. And, you know, obviously anyone can walk into the parks and they can like the attractions, they can like the shows, they can like the foods. But when you start really looking underneath and noticing a lot of the details and noticing attractions that aren't as showy and obvious, you get to enjoy the parks on a much different level. And that can really kind of, you know, people always say, why don't you ever get tired of Disney? Well, that's one reason, because I can't do everything. You know, if you just look at it like, oh, I did blank, I rode Rock and Roller Coaster and Toy Story Mania and all that, that's one thing. But if you're really going and noticing details, there's no end to what you can experience.
That's true.
Yeah. It's very true. Whether it's shows or experiencing different restaurants, that's part of the whole experience.
That's my favorite part.
Well, and I think the shows are... Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, and the little street acts, street... dudes.
Yeah, there's a lot of the street performers, the Streetmosphere.
Yeah,
over at Disney Hollywood Studios.
Well, because there at Epcot Center, you get them too.
I thought it was kind of interesting that I don't know if we mentioned this on the last show or if this is offline, but Steve mentioned that the parks were kind of crowded when y'all were there, and you guys were seeing some shows that you had never seen before, you know, mm-hmm. some street performers and stuff like that, which I thought was sort of interesting because, you know, I tend to be very guilty of sort of running from one attraction to the other and missing out on those things.
Right.
Yeah. For the Christmas party, we saw the Dapper Dans and we watched them do the different songs and play the bells. And
that was cool.
Because normally you walk by all that stuff. You don't, and you're like running from ride to ride. So we did a lot of the little things. And we never took Amber, who's 5, on Carousel of Progress. And we took her on that thinking that, you know, just to show her. And then she loved it. She wanted to go again and again and again. We took her on the Great Movie Ride because there was no line. You know, it was a packed day at the studios where it was like 90-minute to 110-minute wait at Toy Story. And it was 5 minutes at the Great Movie Ride. And we rode it 3 times.
One that I haven't done is the Universe of Energy at Epcot. Is that one that most people miss? Or
we did that one. We did that one too.
We just did that one for the first time in a while.
Yep, we did that one too. It was like a 5-minute wait during the holidays. It's like 45 minutes long. That was fun to do again. I haven't done that one in years. But we hit all those types of attractions and shops and watched shows and went shopping and resort hopped and looked at decorations. And
Kim Possible is another thing. We did 3 missions. I think we did 3. And it's so much fun when you have little kids. I don't care if you have little kids or not. It's fun no matter who you are to follow the clues and see the different things. In Germany, you had the Steins that would sing. And you trigger it with your communicator and people stop and they're like, oh my God, I've never noticed that before. And when we were there, someone said, had you seen this? I said, well, we kind of triggered it with our phone, with our communicator. And they said, no. And I said, I'll do it again. And so I did it again. And I must have done it, 7-8 times because more people kept coming because they wanted to see the singing Steins. And it's not something that you would see if you didn't do Kim Possible.
It's a lot of fun.
We like to do the kid cots through Epcot where they get the little masks and get to do the mm-hmm. little tags.
We did those more when Amber was younger, and now she just wants to do Kim Possible and ride rides. So it might be time to step back and do more of that kind of thing.
It's heading that way for us, I'm sure.
Enjoy it while you can. And just watching the fountain, I know Steve and Amber got the chance to watch the water fountain in Epcot with the music, and it's a beautiful show. I like
it. Yeah, it really is.
And they had it with Christmas music when we were there, and they have a lot of different songs they do. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of stuff like that people run by because they're there for 5 days and it's their one trip and they're trying to. I mean, that's how I was. I just got back from Disneyland, and I was there for 2 days, and it was raining and like 40 degrees, so nobody was there, and I was going from thing to thing to thing, and that's the first time I've done that in a long time, to try to get in as much as I could.
And that's a different type of vacation. There are so many different ways to experience Disney, and doing the parks, of course, is the main way, but you can have a 2-week vacation at Disney and not step foot in the parks and still be totally entertained.
See everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And this is off topic, but this is one thing I noticed at Disneyland. So they were going to close at midnight. That was the closing hour. And then they just announced that we're going to close early because we're not at attendance, which I was like,
wow.
They come out. The guy on the train was like, we're closing at 11 because we're not at our park attendance. It was dead.
But isn't that kind of unfair? I mean, you go in there with the expectation that's going to be open.
It's only an hour earlier, but I thought,
Imagine that happening at Disney World?
I know, and say, no, we're going to close early.
That would never happen.
Yeah, that's a little shocking, really.
Yeah. And they announced it over the PA system in the park. But it was, I mean, they were expecting, it was 10 o'clock close for California Adventure and midnight for Magic Kingdom. And on both nights I was there. And it rained all day. It wasn't like Florida where it rains and you come out of the attraction and it's sunny. It just rained and rained and rained all the whole time. And then the second day I was there, it rained till about 12 noon. And I got there right when they opened at 8. And then it finally started to, the sun finally came out, but it was still cold. And then the crowd started coming in, but they had still announced that they were going to close at 11. But I got, it was weird. I got in and I rode, when, you know, right when the park opened, I got in and rode all the rides in Fantasyland all by myself with nobody in the queue and nobody in the ride. And then I rode that Indiana Jones ride in my own car. And that was because they filled up one car with the people, you know, the 16 people that were in front of me. And then it was just me that was next. And then, so they threw me in a car and I went. But some of the, I mean, so I waited 5 minutes probably for rides. And then Roger Rabbit Spin, that had like a 30-minute wait. And so a few of the rides had a 30-minute wait. And then as the day went on, a few of them had 20, 30-minute wait.
You got off topic again.
I did.
I have one. Of course, I'm forgetting what it is.
Sounds like?
The Disney's Pirate Adventure.
Oh, there you go.
Now, that's the one where they go out and find treasure and stuff on the boat?
Yes. It's for kids between the ages of 4 and 12, and they actually board a pirate-themed boat, and they search for pirate treasure. It's a guided expedition. They get a late snack and beverage. They learn how to talk like a pirate. They visit legendary ports of call, and if they're lucky, they return with a bag of pirate booty. It's a 2-hour sailing voyage that takes place every day from select hotels. It's not that expensive. It's like $34 a person. And parents actually get a little break because the kids, there's no adults allowed.
That's good.
So,
yeah, that sounds like fun. And I know they do it from the monorail resorts. And we saw...
They also do it, I think, from Riverside, I want to say.
Yeah, and they also do it at Beach Club, Yacht Club over there. Yeah, because we saw the boat and we saw some of the little treasure spots when we were on a boat ride.
But it's supposed to be a lot of fun. The kids really like it. The little ones like it.
Yeah, that would be. I bet Amber would like to do that.
And I don't. It's cheap.
I want to do the bike rentals at Boardwalk or at the Port Orleans or one of those where you get the bikes that are like the 4-seater bikes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we never have time. Or I want to do one of the little boat rentals with the little, what do they call them?
The little racer boats.
Yeah, like the mouse sprites, or I think is what they call them.
Oh, sea racers. Aren't they sea racers?
Yeah, that's what they are. Those look like fun.
They have Segway tours, don't they?
Yeah, they have Segways.
In Epcot.
I forgot about that.
And I think they have them over at Fort Wilderness, too.
Yeah, they have an off the beaten path. Yeah, through the kind of the nature trails, they have the ones that have the really big knobby tires on them.
Oh, fun.
So that would be fun.
I mean, you'd have to. So let me see. Let me find something on that. Back Trail Segway Adventure. Challenge yourself to the Wilderness Back Trail Adventure at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. Well, you will experience firsthand a Segway X2 personal transporter. You will be equipped with helmets and have a product overview before you take you outdoors to travel through the wilderness. This is a 2-hour beginner's tour and includes some training time. Even if a guest is experienced, it is mandatory that they attend the entire training. First portion of the tour will be in a covered pavilion and goes on, rain or shine. Let's see. Okay, so we talked about some of the water sports or water activities or craft that you can rent or do. Did we cover everything? We covered the little sprites.
Yeah, you can do anything from the watercraft. You can do anything from the little mouse sprites on up to a pontoon boat to the Grand One yacht over at the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, you can rent
that
out.
And then there's also a wooden one of those classic wooden boats over at the yacht club. I forget the name of it. That looks like it's a lot of fun, and you could do the wishes fireworks from one of those boats or from one of the pontoon boats, or you can do the Epcot illumination fireworks and go on a firework cruise.
You can do a Pirates and Pals fireworks voyage too. Just so I don't stumble. This incredible experience features a moonlit voyage around the Seven Seas Lagoon, which provides the perfect viewing location for the Wishes Fireworks Spectacular at the Magic Kingdom, as well as the Electric Water Pageant. Upon arrival, enjoy a reception with snacks and beverages. Before boarding, Captain Hook and his fumbling first mate, Mr. Smee, will join everyone for a meet and greet on their pier before the exciting journey. Playing host on the vessel for the evening is an unforgettable comedic pirate named Patch, who guides everyone through the unpredictable waters of the Seven Seas Lagoon while leading sing-alongs and Disney trivia games. After the fireworks show has ended, the ship heads back to the pier while Patch narrates the exciting story of Peter Pan, who just happens to be awaiting on the boat's return. Return to pose for photos and sign autographs. Guests who are celebrating special occasions, such as family reunions, birthdays, and anniversaries, will be recognized. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Sorry I read all that, but I just found it.
How much is it?
It is guests that are 10 and older are going to pay $54 plus tax, and youngins from 3 to 9 are going to pay $31 plus tax. And you're going to meet at the Contemporary in the lobby. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that might be fun.
I mean, it's kind of cool. You go out with Hook and Smee, and you think, oh, that's cool. And then you come back, and Pan's there. Yeah, I found some information on all these cruises. This is kind of interesting. The Grand One, 52-foot Sea Ray yacht. You can have two people if you wanted a romantic evening. Or you can do it for a group, and you can have up to 18 people on the yacht. Take a guess. Steve, you probably know, but take a guess how much this is per hour.
I know how much it is because my husband wanted to rent it. It was like, was it like $50?
What'd you say?
$550. Was it $450 or $550?
$520 per hour.
I knew it was close. And when we looked at, I told him about renting it. He said, I don't want a captain. I want to drive it myself. So that's not fair.
That's the way it works. Huh. There's a couple of specialty cruises that I've just stumbled upon.
I saw Breathless the boat too. When we were there. When we stayed at the Grand Floridian.
There's Breathless 2 Fireworks Cruise.
Yeah, that's the really pretty wood boat.
Yeah. It's a 1920-style boat. It's over at the Yacht and Beach Club. And it was handcrafted. Nice. The runabout measures 26 feet in length and is powered by a Mercury Marine engine. $105 per half-day excursion. And then $325 for evening specialty cruises, 6 guest maximum. And then there's one more, Sun Tracker Pontoon Specialty Cruise. You get on a pontoon from the Magic Kingdom Marina, and then you take a day or an evening specialty cruise around the lake, around Bay Lake and the Seven Seas Lagoon. Or you can go from the Yacht Club Bayside Marina, and you can see Crescent Lake and Lake Hollywood. Private dining also available. And that's going to cost you $275, 8 guest maximum.
Well, you know what it is, though, Elise? There's so many things to do there.
Yeah, and that's true. Exactly why we're doing this.
You just cannot possibly.
You've got all the regular golf. You've got Richard Petty driving experience. You've got so much.
Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, yeah. Right. You've got Cirque du Soleil. You got House of Blues that has concerts. You've got AMC.
Disney Quest. Well,
yeah. Even just, Disney Quest, for goodness sake. Yep. AMC Theaters.
I think Disney Quest is not used a lot. I think that's
you should see it.
Tell them about the lines.
When we were there during the holidays, during Christmas, it went like outside around the building waiting to get
really?
In.
Was and that when they were having the Orange Bowl? Because the football teams got to go there. I saw pictures of them.
This was like, we were there like December 17th through the 24th.
Well, when they were doing the Orange Ball, they took all the football players to Disney Quest.
Oh, the line to just get into the building, because they must have been at capacity, was all the way over to Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, wow.
And this was like, you know, what we were there, what, for, we were there for a D23 meet at House of Blues. And so this was like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a lot of people.
It was 4:30, I remember. It was later than I thought it should have been for a line that long.
It was crazy. And then you got to imagine it's going to be packed inside if those people are waiting to get in. It's like, that's a good thing to do if it's raining and it's not an extremely busy holiday time.
Yeah.
And plus you get it as one of the extras on your ticket if you get the water parks fun and more.
Yep.
So we've got a bunch of those to burn.
So I just thought of a couple more things. Spas. Can't believe I didn't think of that sooner. Go to the spas. Relax. Pamper yourself.
Now that sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. With a cupcake in one hand and a nice cucumber water in the other.
There you go.
That's my kind of getaway.
Now you're talking my language, Lisa.
Here's something. Here's something that I really liked. I was reading a trip report on one of the Disney message boards, and the woman went and got her hair blown out. Now, I have really curly hair, and when I go down to Disney World, my hair is really frizzy if I'm not careful. And I thought that was kind of brilliant. For $25, you can get your hair blown out for the day, and then it looks perfect. And who would have thought that you could just walk in that morning? What's that?
So you walk outside.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, you're probably right. But anyway, I can dream. I consider doing it. And even if you want to just get your nail polish or your toenail polish changed, it's $25, which is really not that much money considering it's a Disney resort. So there's like a few little things you can do at the salons and at the spas to kind of pamper yourself that aren't going to break the bank.
Definitely.
Yeah. ESPN Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, you have a lot of that stuff over at the boardwalk. You've got the Jelly Rolls, ESPN, and then you've got the dance hall. So a lot of nighttime or daytime entertainment.
There's not a lot of good nighttime entertainment. No. You know, like for 20-somethings, kind of, you know.
They took Pleasure Island away, and that kind of went with that, I think.
Yeah, but I guess all the problems kind of went with that, too.
One of the other things I want to do is the backstage behind-the-scene tours.
Yes.
I want to do the underground where it takes you in the Magic Kingdom and you get to go through the utilidors.
Exactly.
That's what I did. I did that years ago.
Did you do that? Did you like it?
I loved it. It was so interesting. I actually did that in 1997. So we're talking
when
years.
I go down in May, I'm
I was there then.
One thing I want to do is the Segway tour. And I might do that when I go down in May. So, because the one in Epcot, not the one in Fort Wilderness. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, that would be cool. I want to drive a Segway.
You can ride a Segway over at Interventions just as, you know.
Training.
Yeah, 10 feet this way and 10 feet back. At least.
Well, that's not fun. I want to be able to plow people down.
Yeah. I mean, they show you how to steer it and you inside over at Interventions. Now, this was maybe a year or a year and a half ago, and so I haven't been over there to.
I think it was more than that.
Was it? Yeah, it was maybe.
Might be 2 to 3 years ago.
2 or 3 years ago they had it. And I haven't been in that side to see if it's still there. See, I want to do the tours, but with the kids, we can't do the tours now. So we're in that age group.
But there are childcare options.
Yeah, that's your other. The other off the beaten path option is actually getting rid of your children and going and having some fun, because by about the fourth or fifth day, maybe you're having a little too much togetherness at that in your room at Pop. And so you get a sitter or you take them to the kids clubs and just have a couple hours out by yourself. I think that's something people definitely don't think about.
And it would actually make it more like a relaxing vacation if you did something like that too.
My husband and I did that one night. We actually hired a sitter to come to the room And we went out to dinner. We went to Citra Coast, and then we went to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Because the kids were really too young to enjoy the Christmas party for more than a couple hours. And we had the best night. That might have been the best date we ever had.
That sounds nice.
Shh, don't laugh at me, please.
No, it's funny.
Do you think it was better than Aljon and Kristen's?
You know, I'm still having issues over Aljon and Kristen's, like, you know, I can't live up to that, no. But it was pretty good. And you know, we got to ride everything. We had a great time. And then he gave me a vacuum cleaner afterwards.
Nice.
Just what you wanted, wasn't it?
Okay. Did you need one?
Exactly. Did you get another vacuum cleaner today?
No, I did not. No, I got flowers today, though.
Oh, so that happy was anniversary. Nice.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Now, how many years is it, Chris?
It's 12 years of love and happiness.
See, that's...
Chris, you have any other off the beaten?
I do. I have one sort of kind of obvious one, which is I like to people watch. Like, I don't
know.
Tend to...
Sorry,
no?
I got excited. No, I said I know.
Oh, okay. Yes.
No, I agree.
You know, I don't rush through the parks. Sometimes I just like to go find a bench and stare at people. No, I mean, seriously, I like to just people watch. I mean, you can see a lot of things going on. I've had some really interesting conversations with total strangers on benches, you know, just talking to people. People are on vacation. They're relaxed. They're friendly. Get them a little off guard. Steal their wallet.
Oh my.
No, in all seriousness, you can meet some really nice people, you know, just sitting around kind of relaxing, not rushing around, just sitting on a bench. And I actually have the best off the beaten path ever. Actually, I have two. One is getting married at Disney World. This is something people don't think about, but there's actually several weddings a day, every day of the year, and they can do really beautiful weddings. They are expensive, but they're gorgeous. So
they
that's
are
something
beautiful.
Yes, that's something. Go ahead.
Can you imagine being a bride and getting to ride Cinderella's horse-drawn carriage?
That is my dream.
Maybe I can renew vows at 20 years.
Though. Yes.
That's what I want to do for my 20th. That's what I told my husband.
Maybe we can do a double and split it.
There you go.
Disney's
that
so
would be the
strict,
only
though.
Way I could afford it.
They are very strict. I don't know if you've ever heard about these people who will do like clandestine weddings in the parks, and you can get banned for life for it.
Oh, what do you mean?
Because, you know, I mean, that's their business. I mean, like, people will do like clandestine weddings. They'll like try to get married, you know, on, I don't know, It's a Small World or something. And they'll have like their, you know, their ordained minister or whatever. And they're like, it happens. It actually
they're like,
happens.
They get on the boat and they're like, hurry, quick. We got 4 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. I think the bigger funny. Issue is like people doing it at the resorts. I mean, they will ban you. I don't think it happens that often, but it does happen. But my other off the beaten path, which I think none of you will ever think of and is really the best one ever. Okay. Get ready for this. It's dumping your loved one's ashes in the parks. That's totally off the beaten path, and it happens. And I don't recommend you do it because it's actually something that will get you thrown out, but it has happened.
Wow. I would have never. You know what, though? I got to be honest. If I ever go, that's where I'd like to be dumped.
Yeah. Well, it happens. And actually, in Disneyland, the rumor is, and Disney would, the company won't ever, they won't confirm it, but they actually had to buy some special vacuums to vacuum up for when this happens. It doesn't happen a lot, but apparently people will do it in Pirates, in the Haunted Mansion, and in some of like the sort of decorated grounds, kind of, you know, planters and stuff like that. So,
well, how
I just
do you
thought
know
that was interesting.
I was thinking on the Skyway when it was around.
The Skyway would be bad.
Yeah, I was thinking the Skyway when it was around.
Yeah.
Really, how do they know it's people's ashes, though? How do you know it's human ashes? Do they look different than ashes?
I think you would know because I think they're a little grainy, aren't they?
They're chunkier.
I mean, yeah. I actually did an article for Chip and Company, and that's how I know about this. So, and it was under Off the Beaten Path was the theme of the article. So
oh, well,
it's just sort of a weird little thing.
I don't know where I would want to be spread.
Seven Seas Lagoon.
Yeah.
Then you could have a view of the Grand Canyon.
No.
I would like to have my ashes spread in Disney.
I have to think about
that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where. I'm not sure where my favorite spot would be, though, because.
And we can all meet up for the podcast.
Well, and the beautiful thing is there's plenty of you to go around, right? So maybe you could dump a little of yourself.
A pinch here, a pinch there.
One in each park, and then one in my favorite resort. That might be it.
If you have a mother-in-law you don't like, you could dump around It's a Small World. That kind of thing.
To live in eternity listening to It's a Small World or Never. It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Exactly. Aww. Actually, I love that attraction. So
I do love that attraction, but to hear it over and over again, I don't know.
It's my ringtone on my phone.
Well, I have to tell you, it's my ringtone for my cousin because it's her favorite ride.
Oh.
It's my ringtone for my cousin.
I like your cousin.
She is a huge, huge, huge Disney fan. She's one of my best clients.
Really? I need a cousin like that.
Telling you.
The one awesome. I have a short one, and the one I have is just watching the fireworks over at the Polynesian or any of the resorts over there. Because you can go have a nice dinner and then go out to the beach and then watch them from there. Some of them have swings or some of them have chairs or hammocks.
I don't think we really said this one, but maybe we kind of touched on it. But just Downtown Disney. I mean, we touched on a couple aspects, but, you know, shopping and going to Downtown Disney or hanging out or checking out the restaurants, Legoland, all kinds of good things to do.
Well, we spent a lot of time. We spent hours at Downtown Disney during the holidays because they had different little places set up for photos, and then they had different stages set up with different acts and different, you know, Christmas carolers or a music act, and then Brooke would dance. And
that was some of the best time we had that whole vacation. Actually, in the last couple of years, just at Downtown Disney on the grass, dancing with Amber and Brooke was just kind of like let your hair down, and we didn't care. Well, I didn't care who was watching. We danced like fools, and it was wonderful and just uninhibited. Was nice.
Yeah, and then there was a guy from Australia actually playing at one of the little areas we went, and he was playing the dibbery-doo and a guitar and a bunch of other stuff, doing Christmas stuff, and Brooke was out in the middle doing her little, she's 1 year old, so she was doing her little trying to stand and walk and dance, and then they gave her a free CD.
She won the dance contest. It was
cute.
It was so sweet. Okay, well, let's move to listener questions. Our listener question comes from Amanda, and she wants to know, what hotels can accommodate 5 people in a single room?
Cabins.
Cabins. Animal Family Kingdom. Suite.
Family suite, yep.
Contemporary. Beach club, yacht club.
Bay Lake Tower.
Yep, your deluxes are. I think all your deluxes, you can get a room. That
the Wilderness Lodge.
Wilderness Lodge, you can. You get the junior suite. What about Animal Kingdom Lodge? Does that have a 5?
Yes,
the villas.
Well, yeah, but if we stayed out of the villas, actually, you'd have to get a 2-bedroom on a villa. Because a 1-bedroom isn't going to accommodate 5 people. Now, if the 5th person happens to be a baby in a crib or a child under the age of 3, they can stay anywhere. They'd be a party of 4 plus a baby, and Disney's not going to complain about that. But if you've got 5 people that are over the age of 3, actually over the age of 2, then you have to actually get a resort that can accommodate them. But the best place, I think, is going to be Riverside, because they've got the trundle.
That's my choice for when somebody says they need five, because it's the best price, and some, just the trundle, like you said, is good for even... But it, do they allow adults to sleep in the trundle, or is it just kids?
No, it's got to be a child. I think it is,
under the age of 9, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what they recommend. If you've got a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old that's, you know, smaller or isn't going to complain and is going to be fine on it, Disney's okay with it. But their recommendation is 9 or under. All right. So, Amanda, thanks for writing in. So I think that's going to wrap it up. So you can, as always, download our shows at mousechat.net, and you can also do it at iTunes. And if you happen to have a question or even a comment, go ahead and send that to us at comments@mousechat.net. And please join us again next week here on Mouse Chat.